Welcome to Tales from the Crypt Season 3, Bigger, Badder, and Stickier. By joining us today, you have been officially upgraded to Crit Cat status. So welcome to the club. Tales from the Crypt is an actual play podcast where we focus on smaller story arcs from some of your favorite RPGs, as well as some of the less known or obscure ones. We also play some highly narrative tabletop board games and also some micro RPGs. All of those feature a revolving cast of players, so you're going to see a lot of variety there. And as always, I am your host and your crit keeper, Riley Groves. We're so glad to have you here with us today. Now let's get into the episode. Content warnings can be found in the description. Welcome to a very special episode of Tales from the Crypt. On today's episode, I'll be showcasing a game that will be appearing on our Tier 2 Patreon account and giving you a sneak peek at what that looks like. If you're wondering about our Patreon, that's set to launch in June, unlike originally planned in May. Time just has a funny way of getting away from us. At the table today, I have me, and that's it. Our Tier 2 Patreon is going to feature games that are played by smaller casts, either a single player or up to two. But today's game, I'm taking you on a journey with just me. I got a very special game to play today, one I have tried a few times to beat and have not been successful yet. So this may be the God Run. We'll see. And that game is Spire's End Hildegard. This is a game I kickstarted back in the day and have been very delightfully rewarded with such a special little game. It is a single player or a two player game. I've chosen to play it solo for this so you guys can get a better idea of what that second level of our Patreon is going to look like. This game is made by a company called Favreau, and you can find out more about it at spiresend.com. I think they have a sequel or another game along the same lines out. It also has a couple expansions, I believe, so very worth checking out. And the times that I have played it so far, it has been very fun. It's kept me coming back for more, and I'm going to come back again and again until I do eventually beat it. I don't think I've lost because this game is necessarily very hard, but it is a story-driven kind of choose-your-own-adventure card game. So it goes through four chapters. On today's episode, I'm going to take you through chapter one, and essentially you building your character, making choices, and driving that story further. So it's very fun. It's got a lot of replayability, and I may just make poor choices or bold choices, if you will, which have gotten me into trouble in my previous playthroughs, but sometimes I just suck at rolling dice too. So there is a dice rolling mechanic in this game. It's got special dice where you're trying to get different combinations of bullseyes with those dice. Those dice are complicated by some extra shot dice, which have some positives and some negatives. I'm going to go through this a little bit more while I play the game so everybody can get an understanding of how you play the game. So we're going to be focusing a little bit more on that, as well as narrating what our choices are and what our thought processes are as we move through these games. So we're trying to create a little bit more of an intimate experience so you guys can get to know us a little better, get to know why we make certain choices along the way, and hopefully have a fun time listening to us play games by ourselves. Solo gaming is something that's near and dear to my heart. I really enjoy a solo adventure. It provides a very creative outlet for me, and I'm happy to share that with all of you. To complete the ambiance tonight, I have my favorite woodwick candle going, so if you hear some snaps, crackles, or pops from that, just know that it's just a candle. I left that in, and it's not just poor editing. So my room smells like a delightful humidor, because I am a fan of candles that smell like leather and cigars. There will be no pod deck interview deck question or any other questions to start this episode. Maybe we'll add something in for the Patreon later on. But without further ado, I'm going to get started. This game starts out with the choice of three different starting cards. I think I get my character card in a little bit. But I'm going to go ahead. I've got the three cards laid out in front of me. We're starting on chapter one, obviously, called The Gray Oaks. And my first card, I'm going to select my middle card here. And it reads, "For the Baroness, you wake up to the promise of adventure. A small package has been dropped at your doorstep. Your first delivery is a hastily wrapped box with instructions. It's to be delivered in pristine condition to the Baroness of Seacrest Cliffs. I'm going to gain 3 gold and 2 feats of marksmanship. So I'll do that first. I've got a neoprene mat and a dice tray set up here. So you're going to hear me when I roll my dice a little bit. But hopefully the sound's dampened quite a bit so that it doesn't get too annoying. All right. I'm supposed to also pull cards 88, 89, and 90. Let's take a look at what those cards are. Number 88. Is my character card, so I can finally see myself. I can add my 3 feats of marksmanship to my tracker here on the card. I'm going to throw my 2 gold up in the upper left hand corner, and that's that. So we're going to move on to card number 88, Slingshot and Pebbles. This slingshot is your most treasured possession, and carved from the heart of a 1,000-year-old pine. With this slingshot, you can roll the black wild shot dice at the end of a set. Place in your inventory. I have done that, and let's see what the last card is. Number 90. Mysterious Package. You pick up the package and turn it over. It's wrapped in paper with some light markings here and there. You don't recognize them. As much as you'd like to give it a shake, you don't. Well, not yet. Wonder if you will ever know its contents? For now, it will remain a mystery. Place in your inventory. So that's also going to go in my inventory next to my character card here. Awesome. Then I have a choice. I can either go to the merchant for card 8 or go to breakfast for card 2. I feel like I'm going to go to breakfast. There should be time to go to the merchant later, I think. All right. For breakfast. Before embarking into the wild, you decide a hearty breakfast at the Hungry Hog is in order. You haven't eaten since yesterday and your stomach is growling. Fairfully, the barkeep asks what you'll have. I have a choice of dried fruit and nuts, porridge and coffee, or bread and buttermilk. I'm a huge fan of breakfast. I don't think it should be taken lightly. The dried fruit and nuts is completely off the table. Porridge and coffee sounds really good, but so does bread and buttermilk. I'm going to go... You know what? I'm going to go against my what I would do, which is bread and buttermilk, and I'm going to go for the porridge and coffee and move to card 4. And reason being, Hildegard is a little bit more svelte than me and seems to be going on a delivery run of sorts. And so I don't want to get bogged down by just eating bread and buttermilk. So I'm going to go to card 4. Behind the curtain, you slurp up the last of your porridge, down the rest of your coffee, and pay up. Pay 1 gold for breakfast. So that leaves me with 2 now. You barely get out the door when a stout man with odd spectacles blocks your path. You're late. Get to the wagon. My 2 choices are to play along... Or, huh, I'm not doing that. I don't know, I feel like that's a bad choice. I feel like that one's going to get me in trouble if I go along with this dude that I don't know. So I'm going to, I'm not doing that. And I'm going to jump to card number 15. All right, so it looks like I am, unfortunately, getting attacked by the card peddler. The spectacled man won't take no for an answer. Wait. You must take this, he demands, then reaches into his jacket pocket. You are alarmed by his forcefulness. All right, so it's my first combat already of the game. I have to get 1 bullseye total. My accuracy is 3. In this game, accuracy lets you know how many dice you can attempt to throw at once. And I only have a set of 1, which means I essentially only get 1 chance to roll these dice. Here we go. I, in fact, did succeed. I got 2 dots and a full circle. On this, I could create a bullseye with a dot and a circle. This game does have some really cool combat mechanics. After you throw the dice, you can finesse them. Oh, let me actually, I got to throw my special shot dice here before I get too ahead of myself. And I got a blank space. So nothing good, nothing bad, just completely neutral. So that's really good. I also take 1 feat of marksmanship as a bonus. Having an additional dot on my throw. It's just a special thing about this card. So I hit, I'm going to go to card number 27. I haven't played this game probably, I'd have to say, in a year or better. So I don't ever remember taking this path or dealing with this person before, which I'm pretty excited about. I've made it to chapter 4 several times in this game and have died really soon into that. I think the only chapter I haven't died in is chapter 1. So hopefully this isn't bringing us down that path, because that would be pretty depressing. But I don't remember taking this path or dealing with this guy in the past either. So hopefully that'll prove to be something beneficial. All right, card number 27. A scrap. Outrageous. You could have broken my glasses. An unsavory sort like yourself doesn't deserve this, but I do what she tells me. Take it, please. I haven't got all day. The little man waves the card in your face like he's giving a stray dog a scrap of meat. I have no idea what you're saying. What's this about? You question. I'm old, I'm tired, and I'm about to leave. You have to the count of three. I have the choice of accepting the card or resisting. I don't know. I feel like it could be a boon of sorts. Probably won't be, but I'm going to pull it. I'm going to go to number 59, and I'm going to see what this is all about. 59, that really jumps me up quite a bit. So I've got card 59 in front of me. However, it also says pull card number 86. So let's take a look at what that is. The mark of the hawk. You feel as if your senses are heightened. In some instances, going forward, you may be able to use the mark of the hawk ability. Place in your inventory. Shit, okay. I don't know what the mark of the hawk ability is yet, but I'm eager to find out. So I've got that in my inventory as well. I think I'm doing pretty good so far. Let's see what card number 59 has for us. Rations. It's setting in. You're about to leave the Gray Oaks. Maybe one more stop at the Mercantile? I told you I'd be able to go back to visit the Merc. Pull cards 93, 94, and 95, unless already purchased. Yeah, I'm gonna go to the Mercantile shop. I'm just gonna see what's up. So we're gonna pull card 93, 94. And 95. Okay, I can either get a grappling rope, a chestnut popper, or an enchanted Boda bag, which is one of those like wineskin kind of things. So the enchanted Boda bag is 2 gold. Mensos, the Gray Oak's best leather worker, has been crafting these for 50 years. Water placed inside will always remain cool and fresh. This one looks like it's seen some action. Okay, let's check out what a chestnut popper is. Brisket, the store owner, beams as you look over a nondescript chestnut on a leaf. What's this? You ask. A chestnut popper. Handed over to me by mistake during, a trade. You'd best not know the details. It can be used to, ... If purchased, place in your inventory. That's only 1 gold. No clue what it does. Or the grappling rope is the last item. The rope has a sharp set of barbs on the end to climb up and down when hooked. Handy, indeed. But that is, unfortunately, 3 gold, so that automatically disqualifies this grappling rope. I feel like either of these two things are going to come in handy, but I don't want to spend all my money, so I am going to buy the chestnut popper. Whatever it does, add that to my inventory. That's going to leave me with 1 gold. And I guess I'm going to set the shop stuff aside and go back to card number 59. You're approached by a shriveled up woman who looks like a date left to dry in the sun. You there, you a fisherman? She asks. On occasion, you say, off guard. Well then, I know a place you can catch something for both of us. A little fishing might not be a bad idea. I have the option to say sure, show me the place, or decline. I would rather fish alone. I really like fishing. You can usually learn something from everybody, so I'm just going to move on to card number 60. You've got the touch. The partially mummified woman leads you across Edgewater Bridge. What an awful thing to say about someone. I've tried here. Nothing bites, you groan. I need someone with strong arm, the right touch, to cast all the way out into those cattails. I can't reach them myself. She hands you a fishing pole. The lure is an odd black stone, and it's heavy. Only have one choice to move on to the next card. Okay, here goes. Card 61. It is a battle card. Looks like I'm battling some cattails. I need to get 5 bullseyes, which is a lot of bullseyes. I get 4 dice to try to do so, and 4 attempts. If I can get 6 bullseyes, I can get a bonus feat of marksmanship, which would be pretty cool. But we'll see what happens first. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I do have 3 feats of marksmanship already, so I do have some positive effects I could take if I want to. But I might hold on to those. I think they're pretty important. So let's see what I can do here in the cattails. Okay, with my first roll, I only got 1 dice that matches what I can use for a bullseye. So out of 4, I'm going to keep just the full circle one. I'm going to go ahead and finesse my shot. I'm going to keep that one, but I'm going to finesse my shot, so which means I can choose 3 others to throw again. I managed to get 3 pieces that I can use. 2 are just the half circles. 1 is the half circle with a half a dot in the center. So I'm like halfway there. I'm going to keep that black dice as well as the white circular dice still. That one's already locked in, so I can change that if I wanted to. But let's see what I can do in these next 2 dice here. All right, I got the other side of one of those black circles, so I was able to complete 1 bullseye. I'm going to finesse my shot for the last time here with my last die, and I wasn't able to use anything. So right now I have 1 bullseye. I'm going to put down a marker, and I have 3 more attempts to do so. Actually, before I fully count that one, I got to roll my shot dice again. That's a blank. That's awesome. All right, so 4 more bullseyes to go, 3 more attempts. I've got 1 complete bullseye set here, so I'm going to keep those 2 dice. I'm going to re-roll 2 of them to finesse my shot further. All right, oh boy, I got 50% of one and 50% of another. I'm going to go ahead and try to re-roll my single white circular die, and I wasn't able to make anything happen there yet. Let's roll the shot die, another blank side, so that's great. So that's 2 bullseyes. I've got 2 more chances left. I really need to pick up 2 bullseyes in one of these rounds to make the last round a little bit easier. My first throw, I was able to get another complete bullseye set, and I have 2 other dice, 1 blank, 1's just a half circle. I'm going to finesse those 2, and I got 1 more full circle, so I just need another dot to complete that bullseye to kind of make it look like a target. And I wasn't able to get it that time. I'm going to roll my shot die. Oh, and it actually removed one of my bullseyes, so it's going to cancel out the one that I did roll. So I'm 3 chances in right now with 2 bullseyes. I need to make something pretty big happen. The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to spend 1 of my feats of marksmanship, and I'm going to add an additional shot die to this set. So I'm going to roll a 5, and we're going to start there. I got 1 bullseye and 3 dots. I'm going to reroll 2 of those dots. I got a 2nd bullseye, and that's where I'm going to stop because rerolling 1's not going to do anything for me. Unfortunately, I do still have to roll my shot die. That's a blank side, so I just got 2 more bullseyes. I know this is my 4th shot at it, and 4 doesn't do it for me. So I'm going to spend my last 2 feats of marksmanship and get an additional set on this roll. I'm now all out of feats of marksmanship, which they're not the easiest things to come by. So I'm hoping I can actually get 2 bullseyes on this and hit that bonus. But we'll see. I'm back down to 4 dice. Let's see. I just want to get something good on this set. All right. I got just a single lone dot, which just needs a full circle around it. And I got a half of a black target finished already, so I'm going to re-roll 2 of these dice. I'm going to finesse them, and I did manage to get a full circle, so I did get my 5th hit, which is great. I should pass the card. Hopefully my shot dice doesn't screw me. Let's see. My last dice didn't come up and get me that sixth hit. But that's all right. Let's just see. Oh, shit. I actually rolled a full bullseye on my wild shot dice. So I actually did get six, which is fantastic. So I'm going to take 1 feat of marksmanship back and take a look at the card. You take the beaten up fishing rod and give it a shake. It feels good enough, solid and balanced. You'll give it a try. I sure did. I'm going to move on to card number 62, which says catch. And I got the tin. The lure plops down into the water near the cattails. You feel a tug and the line pulls. You have it. Reel it in, she says excitedly. It doesn't feel like anything alive, more like a lost boot or a tree branch. You reel in an old tin. Give it here! The woman snatches it and pries it open. She dumps a handful of gold coins onto the ground and begins counting. Yes, it's all there! She pulls off the fishing lure. This is yours, for 1 gold. You'll want it. If you pay 1 gold, place the magnet lure in your inventory. I have 1 gold. I feel like I'd like this. So I'm going to pay that last gold. I'm in a pretty shitty spot, actually, with my feats of marksmanship and gold at this point. Told you I make some pretty bad decisions. But I'm going to put that magnet lure in my pocket. And then I have 2 choices. I'd like to catch an actual fish, or I'm done fishing. I'd like to catch an actual fish. So I'm going to go on and check out card number 63. It's called Towlog's Tackle. You head down to the tackle shop to buy some bait. You'll need it to fish. Towlog, I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that right. Towlog keeps a spare fishing rod for you behind the counter. We've got 3 different colored blocks here for a horsefly, a whistle cricket, and a stinkworm. The horsefly is free. There's 1 in stock. The whistle cricket, there's only 1 in stock, and it costs 1 gold. And the stinkworm costs 2 gold and only has 1 in stock. So you can buy your bait up to 3. Take a cube of the associated color, red, black, or gold. If you're broke, horseflies are free. Place the fishing rod in your inventory. Alright, so I got a flimsy fishing rod. My inventory is fucking stacked up. And I only have 1 option. Well, I'm going to take my red block for my horsefly lure and move on to card number 64, which is called Fishing Lessons. Pull the 3 fishing cards, cards 91. Shuffle and place them face down. Okay, I'm going to do that first before reading the rest of the card. You can place 1 or more bait cubes, well, I can't, I only have 1, on the fishing spot cards you would like to cast on. Alright, so I've got 1, I'm going to place this on the 1 to the far right. Roll as you would during an encounter and attempt to meet the conditions indicated on the fishing spot cards. If those conditions are met, you've got a bite. Turn over the card. If the bait you used is listed, you have successfully caught a fish. Only 1 player can fish per fishing spot. Alright, so the conditions for this are, I need 1 bullseye. I have an accuracy of 4, so I can roll 4 dice, but I only get 1 set to do it in. So I'm going to roll my 4 die. And for this one, I can only use a full white circle, a center circle dot, and a half white circle to make my bullseye. So I got 2 full white circles, a black half target, and a half circle. So I'm going to keep just 1 of those full white circles so that I can maximize the number of dice I'm going to throw. Oh, I didn't get anything. So I'm going to keep just 1 of those because I have to in order to finesse. I'm going to roll my last 2 die here. I got a second half of a circle, so I have 2 full circles now. I just need a dot. I'm in search of a dot. Please give me a dot. I did not get a dot. My only 2 options for my last feat of marksmanship are to add 1 shot die onto the next set, or may reroll a wild shot on a set. So I'm going to roll my wild shot right now, see if I get that bullseye. I didn't. It would cancel that out. I've got 2 chances to roll a bullseye on my wild shot die, so I am going to spend that last feat of marksmanship. This is probably going to prove to be foolish. I'm just fishing, but I really like fishing, so I'd like to be good at it. I'm never good at it in video games or card games or anything. Let's reroll that wild shot die, and I got a blank side, so I don't get it anyways. No fish for me. What a waste of supplies. I fish and then leave the gray oaks, so I got skunked, and I move on to card number 66. I'm at a crossroads. The road ahead forks into town. An old sign marks Hickory Hills to the right and Pointy Peaks to the left. Both will eventually lead you to Crow Falls, and from there to the coast, but you're not sure which to take. A crow lands on the right side of the sign. Maybe the crow knows the way. But then another lands on the left. Then another. They start to caw at you and ruffle their feathers furiously. These birds look angry. One of them leaps into the air and in your direction. The crows attack. Advance card number 67 and 68. So let's pull both of those and see what they look like. Oh, they have a bunch of just wild crows on one card and Hildegard on another. So it looks like I am battling, which might be a mini boss or something at this point. So in this, it is a much different type of battle than a regular battle. I have a card which has my character on it and a bunch of symbols that correspond with dice below. And then on the other card, I have the crows, which requires 7 bullseyes to defeat. There's a couple different combinations of dice I can use to do that. But I feel like I'm actually in like a pretty large battle right now. My accuracy is 4, so I can roll 4 dice. Their accuracy is 3, so it looks like they're going to roll against me and try to match the symbols on my card in order. So let's give it a try. I wish I didn't use all my feats of marksmanship before this, but hopefully I can win and get some cool stuff from that. All right, here it goes. All right, my first throw. I got 2 dice that correspond with the combo of dice that I can use. I'm going to keep the 1 half target. I just got a 2nd half target, so that's awesome. So that's 1 bullseye already. I believe this is just a fight to the death, which whoever wins first is the winner. There's no number of sets that this might take to do so. So I'm going to reroll 2 die after getting my first bullseye. All right, I'm going to call it right there. I got 2 dice, only 1 of them matches, and it's the dot, and I can't make a bullseye out of that. So I'm going to take 1 bullseye marker and place it on the crow. So I only need to get another 6, which sounds like a lot. I keep forgetting to roll my wild shot die, so let's take a look at what that does first. I actually got a 2nd bullseye on that, so I'm going to place the 2nd bullseye marker on that stupid crow. So they're actually down to 5, so that's really, really helpful for me. The crows roll their 3 die. And we do finesse the enemy's hits as well. None of their 3 die match anything that's on my health tracker here. So I'm going to reroll 2 of those. I'll keep the circle so they still are missing out. They need to match the symbols on their die with the symbols on my character card in turn order. I finessed their shot and they did not get any matches. So I'm still at full health there. I'm going to roll my 4. The crows do not roll a wild shot dice like I would. All right, I got 2 full white circles. I got a dot in the center and a half circle, so I'm going to keep the half circle and the dot. I got nothing helpful there, so I'm going to reroll 1 die and finesse it, and I got nothing there either. So let's roll a wild shot dice, and I got a bullseye on that. That was helpful, so now I've got 3 hits on my crow friends. They've got nothing on me. They roll 3 dice. They're going to keep 1 because it does match, but it's a ways away on my character card. So they need to hit theirs in order. I'll reroll 1 die. Oh, shit. And they actually did manage to hit me with that last die. So I have 1 wound on my tracker here. And I've got a total of 6 slots left, so they'd have to match 6. I'm going to roll my die. And I'm going to keep my 1 dice that's got a full half circle or half target on it. So now I have a black half target and a white half target, so I'm going to reroll 2 die. Neither of those helped, so roll my last 1 here. That didn't help as well. So another not good round for me. And I actually rolled a red X, which takes 1 of my hits away, which is super unfortunate. Wow, they just rolled 3 dice and they hit me with every single hit. I currently have 4 out of 7 of my wounds, and I've only hit them for 2 out of 7 of theirs. We got a finesse. I love the finesse mechanic in this game. I did get one full bullseye so far. I can reroll one die. I like it in any game, but makes this game a little bit more complicated, which is great. So it's not just a regular choose your own adventure, but it's got, you know, some good engagement on it as well. So I rolled my wild shot dice and got another bullseye. So I got one bullseye naturally from rolling my dice and one from that wild shot die, which puts the crows at 4 out of 7. Hildegard and the crows are tied right now. We each got 4 out of 7. The shittiest part is how many times the crows can hit me in a row. They just got 2 hits. Oh shit, only one more and I'm doomed. They did not get that. So I've got to have a big round. If I had kept feats of strength, you can block incoming hits from happening, which would be really helpful for me. But I spent all those, so, which isn't good. I got one full bullseye and a full half target, so I'm going to reroll only one die. All right, I managed to get 2 bullseyes on that, so hopefully my wild shot die cooperates here. Gives me a 3rd. Come on, baby. And it does. All right. That's 3 bullseyes, which puts me at beating the crows, and they have perished. So I get an extra feat of strength for that, which is great. I really needed that. I have a feeling the crows would have kicked my ass if they had went one more round, and they definitely would. Their first roll would have killed me. So I'm super pumped to have beaten those stupid crows. Let's see where we go from here. Win, move to card 73. Lose, move to card 69. All right, so we're going to 73. That card is called Plucked Luck. Free of the birds at last, you start plucking the pointy black feathers out of your hair and clothes. For a brief moment, you're able to sit in peace before you hear it. Something or someone is rustling behind you. My choices are, do you have conversation card number 13? I do not. Hurling husks. Rather suddenly, you're hit in the back of the head by something hard and blunt. The blow knocks you over. You turn to see a scarecrow, not 10 feet away, hurling corn husks at you. This must be an enchantment to ward off those rabid crows. With all the feathers flying about, this one must be a little confused. Pull cards number 96 and 97. Oh, great. This is the same thing we had to do last time when we fought the stupid crows. So it seems like we might be in for another fight. Oh boy, this one's got some different rules to it. Out of the 2 cards, I have one with a diagram that has a corn husk in the middle of it. It says, wild, tame, flub, hit in a pattern. So let's set that aside here. Corn of Chaos rules. Look out, the scarecrow is throwing corn missiles. Layout card's number 75. So I've got 75, that's another character card for me. And 76 as pictured. And then I've got another scarecrow guy. Yeah, he looks pretty intimidating. He's hurling like corn missiles that have the bullet effects from the Matrix on there. So he's going to go opposite of me. And then my little diagram card that says wild, tame, flub, and hit on it is going to go in the middle of us. At the end of each of Hildegard's sets, turn card number 97 counterclockwise. It starts with wild, which I have up there. Count each complete circulation of card number 97 with a cube. For each circulation, add +1 to hit. Alright, so every 4 turns he's going to get an additional 1. That sucks. The status effect listed will affect Hildegard's set. During your turn, you may opt to use any bullseye combination on the Corn of Chaos. It can be removed after 3 bullseyes. The face-off ends when Hildegard or the Scarecrow is defeated. So if I hit the Corn of Chaos 3 times, then I can remove it completely. But that Scarecrow has got a health bar of 7, which matches those stupid crows. He also has an accuracy of 3. I have an accuracy of 4 again, and I have 7 health boxes myself. Let's see how we do here. Before we get started, though, I'm going to read a little bit about those 4 status effects. Flub, -1 shot die on the next set, so that really sucks. Tame, no wild shot on the next set. Graze, no finesse on the next set. That one's going to really suck. And hit on face off. Hildegard's hit meter. So on hit, I take an extra one. So there's only tame, flub, hit, and wild. Oh, and wild is a positive for me, where I may reroll a wild shot on a set. So that could be a positive, that could be a negative. Very cool. I have one feat of marksmanship left. I feel like I'm gonna save it for as long as I can. I may use it to block an attack if I'm getting close to getting beat, but I'm gonna hold out for a little bit. So wild's on top, so at the end of my attack, I'm gonna take a second wild shot, which is great. I'm gonna start out with 4 die, so here I go. It said I may use any combination to hit the wild card, or the status effect card. Did not say the same about the scarecrow, so I have to match some symbols on there. I have one that matches, it's a half target, so I'm gonna roll my set. I'm gonna finesse that, actually. I got just one helpful die there, so I'm gonna reroll 2. I got no helpful die there, so I'm gonna reroll 1, and I completely missed. 0 bullseyes for me on that. Rolling 2 wild shots. That's 1 bullseye, so that's awesome. I was incorrect. I'm not going to roll a second shot die. I'm going to re-roll a wild shot die. So I got 1 bullseye on the scarecrow. He's got an accuracy of 3, so let's see. He matched 2 down the line, but I still need to see if... Oh, he clobbered me with all 3. So that's a bad start for me. We're going to turn that card counterclockwise. So he automatically gets a hit on me. That's terrible. I've got 3. I'm on my last throw here. I finessed my way to 1 hit. Let's confirm that with our wild shot die. We got a blank. So Scarecrow is currently winning 3 hits to 2. Both of us out of 7. And he actually does another hit to me because of the Corn of Chaos, which gets spun around to the flub side. I only have 3 dice this turn. I got 2 possible hit combinations, and I managed to get a hit on one of those. So let's see if I can manage a second hit with my wild shot die. I do not. I get a blank, so that's 3 for me, 4 for the scarecrow on me. I'm gonna use my last feat of marksmanship and block one of my tiles so that he can't just one-shot me, because we have a ways to go with this bad mamba jamba. So he managed to match the first one. Oh yeah, good thing I did that. I managed to block one spot. He did hit me though for the first one, so he's up. I've only got 2 HP left to his 4, and we're at the tame section of the Card of Chaos, which means I cannot finesse in the shot. Let's just hope I get I got 1 bullseye, which is awesome. I'm gonna roll my wild die. It's a blank side, so I throw a 4th one up there. Oh boy, I really hope that the scarecrow does not take me out on these hits. So far no matches. All right, I survived another round against the scarecrow. And we're back to the wild side. I really hope I can take him out right here, would be helpful. I've got 2 matching die, so if I can roll 2 more that match. I didn't. We'll finesse one more time. I matched 1, so that's great. That's my 5th one. We'll roll the wild die. No change on that one. It is currently 5-5 out of both of our only 7 HPs. Oh, I could reroll my last wild shot, so let's do that first. Ah, another void. Nothing. So, going counterclockwise, hoping that he doesn't get any hits in because he might wipe me out. He's gonna hit me automatically because of the Corn of Chaos card. Nothing yet. So he misses all 3 times again, but I do take a hit, so I'm down to my last one. I really need something good to happen this time. We got 1 bullseye. I need 2 left. I've got 2 halves of good dice here. Oh boy, I don't know what to keep and what to throw. I'm gonna keep, I guess, the other half of the bullseye And I managed to get the last half of the bullseye that I needed, so I take two more bullseyes and I put them on the scarecrow, hitting him for 7. As long as my wild shot die doesn't screw me here, it actually gives me another bullseye, so that's awesome. Getting an 8th one doesn't do anything for me, but on a win, I actually get 5 feats of strength back, which is tremendous because I have none. The maximum that you can have is 6 anyways, so I'm feeling good right now. I just beat the stupid scarecrow right after getting attacked by the stupid crows. I feel like I'm more of the scarecrow than he is. So let's see, where do we go? When we win, we go to card number 82. That card is the Pummeled Pumpkin. You watch in satisfaction as the scarecrow's pumpkin head bursts into an explosion of orange goop and seeds. Its tattered burlap arms drop lifeless to its side. The fray has left you covered from head to toe in crow feathers and pumpkin innards, and you didn't pack any extra clothes. It's been a rough morning, but it could have been worse. After wiping yourself down, you notice a note nailed to the scarecrow's post. If you would like to read it, pull card number 84. I feel like I shouldn't, just because I make a lot of bad decisions, and I've made a ton of them so far. We just barely made it out of some of those fights, although we did have to fight both the mini-boss of the crows and the boss right after that. I felt like I was in a FromSoft game with how cruel that was. But I think I'm going to read the card on the scarecrow anyways. Maybe it'll give us something good. Vog's Gift. To whoever is lucky enough to read this. It's unfortunate for me, but fortunate for you, that I have stumbled into incurable misfortune. During my pursuits here in the hills, I contracted crow fever. Due to this, and my lack of lineage, I leave my most precious family heirloom to you. On the path through the pointy peaks, you'll come across the Oak of Elders. I've hung it there. Please be respectful to the others that rest. A warning. Keep away from the crows. My enchantments haven't worked. They're poisoned and will give you the fever as they did me. It takes hold of your mind and drives you mad. Sincerely, Vog. Place Vog's will in your inventory. Will do. Alright, and then my options after that on the Pummeled Pumpkin card are head to Hickory Hills or the Pointy Peaks. Well, this dude just gave me his will, which is at the Pointy Peaks, so I'd feel pretty discouraged if I didn't go that way. I feel like the game wants me to go that way. I feel like it sounds more dangerous than Hickory Hills. Hickory Hills sounds like a nice place to get some smoked sausages. But I'm going to go with the Pointy Peaks. I'm going to see Vog's Gift through here. I hope what he said about the crows isn't real. I hope I don't like get sick or something further down the road. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So I'm going to head to card number 104, which brings us into chapter 2, actually. So we'll head a little bit further and see what the Pointy Peaks has in store for us. Jingle Bells. The trail follows a creek up into the mountains. From here, you can see the brake line. A fresh coat of snow speckles the Pointy Peaks. It's a magnificent sight. You hear ringing. A seasoned gentleman with bells tied onto him from head to toe is coming your way. With way too much enthusiasm, he scurries toward you, arms raised. Oh my god, I've got just the thing for you. Pull card 196. 196 is far back there. Hope it doesn't have us skip the whole chapter. Wild game. While you're out in the wilderness, it pays to keep your eyes open for wild game. Pull and shuffle cards 197, there are 4 of them, and place them in a separate stack face down. That seems like a little bit of an odd card to get from this guy in Jingle Bells. But I do enjoy me a good hunt as well. Okay, I've placed them in a separate stack face down. Let's continue the card. This is the Wild Game deck. Pull a card from this deck whenever you encounter the symbol above. The Wild Game deck is only used in Chapter 2. Good luck and happy hunting. Alright, so it looks like we can do some hunting. Going back to the Jingle Bells card, it does have a wildlife symbol on it, a wild game symbol. So I'm going to flip that over, actually, because we did encounter it, and I came across a nasty-ass field rat who looks like he is attacking me. So I'm going to battle. I'm going to gear up here to battle once again. I have an accuracy of 3 sets number two. I need to get two bullseyes. Three gets me a bonus. I do match one full bullseye. No sense in rerolling that third die. My wild shot die doesn't do anything negative for me. So I hit that route for one bullseye so far. See if I can get a second one here. I got a dot. I'm going to reroll two other die. Ooh, neither of them are any good. I'm going to reroll this third die and see if I can get... I did not get what I needed on that. Let's see. I actually remove a die. But I'm going to use two feats of marksmanship and just buy my last hit there and beat this rat. So I'm going to add this field rat pelt to my inventory. My inventory is stacked at the moment. Going back to the Jingle Bells card, now looking at my options, I can either, I have a touch of leprosy, be gone, or let me guess, a bell. The first one's icky, so I'm going to say, let me guess, a bell. I'm going to move to card 110. Card says, bells and whistles. The man pulls an old bell off his beard, gives it a quick rattle, then hands it to you. This will scare off local predators. Wear it on your belt. Let it do the work. That'll be 2 gold. Now wait a minute. I have something far better than a lousy bell, says another voice. A woman walks up behind the man. Don't listen to this fool. He's been out in the woods too long. I have a whistle, see? She holds up a small, curved bone. Blow this when danger's near. 3 gold, please. I, unfortunately, have no gold to pay anybody. So, that only leaves me with 2 options. Decline and head towards the stream, or decline and head up the trail instead. I'm going to decline and head my ass up the trail. Which brings me to card number 123. Before I do that, this card also has a wild game symbol on it, so I'm going to flip that shit over. And a golden pheasant. This is a pretty dope looking little animal. I got to get 2 bullseyes. I have an accuracy of 3, so I can throw 3 shot dice. But only 1 set to try to do it in, so let's see what I can do. Alright, I did not... get anything, so I'll reroll 2. I mean, I've got 50% of what I need, and the last one does not give me what I need, and my wild shot die also does not help out. So the golden pheasant flees away from me. That's disappointing. So let's move to card 123. The card is Troubled Waters. You reach peak falls and come to an impasse. Heavy rainfall has wreaked havoc on the area. A stream, that's now a river, blocks your path, and the bridge once here has been swept away. Downstream, you can see the shards of a structure jutting out of the water. You're glad this delivery wasn't assigned to you last week during the storm. There's a wall of rock to your left, a cliff to your right, and a treacherous river in the middle. Do you climb up over the cliff, wade through the river, ride through the river if Mildred is acquired? Mildred looks like a horse, which... I do not have, or use the grappling rope if acquired, which I also could not afford. So my only options are to climb up over the cliff and wade through the river. Both sound super dangerous. I guess I'm going to try to climb up over the cliff. I feel like that's a bad idea, which will bring me to card number 136. Before I move on, though, this card also has a wild game symbol on it, which is super dope. So I flipped that. That is the Twilight Squirrel. I have a accuracy of 3. Sets number 2, which is great. I have to get 2 bullseyes. A third will get me a feat of marksmanship. There are only very few combinations that will get me a bullseye here. However, I have half of one. Let's see. Can I get the other? I did not. Hit die is blank. So no, nothing good there. Reroll. Missing with all 3. Got 50% of 1. And there's 1 die. Let's see if we can get it done with our wild game die. And we did not. We missed out. So the Twilight Squirrel goes fucking setting off further into the woods. Which brings us to the ledge. We reach a ledge that leads to the other side of the river. Off to the left is a nest. Do you check out the nest? Or do you climb down to the other side? If you have Mildred the Mule, discard her now. She is unable to climb the cliff and must be left behind. Glad I don't have to leave Mildred behind. I'm just going to climb over the other side. I don't feel like getting into a griffin's nest or some shit is going to be great. So I'm going to head to card number 150. I made it to the campgrounds. It asks if I used the grappling rope. I did not. And I do not have to discard Mildred the Mule either because I don't have her. With the river at your back, you continue to climb until your legs give out. Time to rest. To the left is an open meadow, edged with wild berry bushes. On your right, there are signs of game. You spot rabbit tracks and scat from something else you can't identify. Camp in the glade or camp near the critter tracks. This card has a wild game symbol on it. It would be our last one. A Cali Gray Hound. It looks like a dog with chicken feet and a weird tail, and it's got horns. It looks pretty sick. All the artwork in this game is really, really cool. It's almost worth checking it out just for that. So I have an accuracy of 3. I have 3 sets to accomplish 4 bullseyes. Fifth one gets me some bonuses. I got half of what I need. I got 1 full bullseye, so I'm going to leave that there. Roll my wild shot dice. Nothing there. So I got 1 of those bullseyes. Here's my second set. Nothing so far. Reroll 2. Reroll the last one. And that's a second bullseye. Let's try to get our wild shot die. All right, so that's 2. I got 1 set left to get another 2. I don't think I could even accomplish getting 3. I'm going to reroll 2 of those die. So I'm going to reroll 1 of those die. And I did get a 3rd one. So let's reroll, or let's roll a wild shot die. And I got the 4th bullseye. So I am going to take the Cali Greyhound pelt and add that to my inventory. I don't know what any of these things are going to do, but now I've got a rat and a Cali Greyhound pelt in my inventory. I think it'd be safer to camp in the glade rather than by the critter tracks. Maybe I'm just being risk adverse. So we've exhausted our wild game deck at this point. Also, just a note. The card says, thank the berries. A cold breeze picks up at your ears and cheeks as you attempt to start a fire. You rub your hands together, then stoop over and blow on the kindling. A flame leaps and the fire catches hold. The smell of burnt hickory wafts up your nose. There's nothing like the primal comfort of a campfire. As you sit down to get comfortable, a berry bush in front of you shakes, and twigs begin to snap. My 2 options are to ring the bell or blow the whistle, if required, which, not acquired, or I got nothing, what now? Move to cards 154 and 156. That's never a good sign. Oh no, yeah, it's me. I have a character card which seems to advance, and a gray grizzly bear. And that grizzly bear looks ferocious. So in order to find out how I fare against this gray grizzly bear, you'll have to subscribe to the top tier of our Patreon, which goes live June 17th. You'll be able to subscribe to either tier 1, which will give you an additional bonus episode per month. And to kick off that tier, we are going to the prologue of We Deal in Lead, the season finale arc of our first season, featuring John as Betty Bob Cocker, Mikey as Cal McCrae, and Rebecca as Jessie Jane. And the second tier of our Patreon will feature the continuation of Spires and Hildegard, which we played today. So please go check that out. That's at, which is at patreon.com/wolfbeardpodcasts, with Wolfbeard Games being our game company and sponsor. So please, if you've enjoyed today's episode, go support us on that. Once again, that's going to start on June 17th. You'll have access to both tier 1 and tier 2. So you can get up to 2 more bonus episodes a month. And you can find out what happens to me and Hildegard and the rest of Spires and Hildegard if you sign up for that tier 2. Also, go check us out on Instagram at Tales from the Crypt Podcast. Give us a subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to us to. And please tell everyone of your friends. Everyone ever. Tell everybody. If you join the Patreon, you'll also get some real cool merch, such as some sticker packs or a Tales from the Crypt or Wolfbeard Games custom merch item. Our first one is going to be the Tales from the Crypt D6. So that'll be our inaugural gift. So if you go ahead and sign up for our different tiers of Patreon, you're going to get some real cool stuff from us. Thank you for spending your time with us, and we hope you've enjoyed. See you next Tuesday. That's it for today's episode. We hope you've enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed playing. If you have, go run and tell all your friends so that we can turn as many people into Crit Cats as possible. Tales from the Crit is a Wolfbeard Games audio podcast, and if you like us, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts, and head on over to our Instagram page and our YouTube channel. Both of those are at Tales from the Crit Podcast. All right, bye-bye!